It does amaze me a little bit that Jesus said these things and they still followed him. I know it can be tempting, and I often do fall into thinking how crazy it is what Judas did, but not how crazy it is what the other 11 did. Thinking, how could Judas betray Jesus? That's unthinkable. That's ridiculous. That's, talk about the biggest mistake of all time, you know? True. To be fair, I'm not trying to get him off the hook. Like, oh, no. You know, no. But what's maybe even more amazing is that the other 11 followed him after he said these things. Let's see. They will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. Sound good? It gets worse, much worse. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. They will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. Sound good? No, Lord. No, Lord, that sounds even worse than the last thing you said. And they still followed him. Yes, it's amazing in a way, in a bad way, that Judas did what he did. You could look at it a little bit differently and say that it's kind of predictable for somebody who was stealing money. He was the treasurer, and he was stealing money. And we don't know why he followed Jesus and then betrayed him, but it seems possible that it was because he thought he was going to be one of the 12 rulers of Israel. He thought, well, that's pretty cool. I'm going to have a lot of power, a lot of status, probably a lot of money, which seemed pretty important to him. And then when he found out, he did listen to Jesus. When he found out what it was really going to mean to be a follower, he said, oh, no, I'm not so much up for that. I like the ruling part. I like the being in charge and having money, but the whole giving testimony before governors and kings and your family attacking you for following Jesus, I'm not really in for that. So, see ya. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to betray you to the high priest. Okay, see ya. It's a little bit predictable from the perspective of our fallen human nature or selfishness or fear. But the 11, the other 11, and many of Jesus' disciples, you know, not just the other 11, but also all the disciples that were following Jesus, hear this, and they still follow him. Wow, that's amazing. That's something to marvel at. That's something to marvel at because of what it will cost them. Why would they follow Jesus? Because they're not excited about these things. No, they're following Jesus because they love him. They love him. And they trust him. And they put their faith in him and who he is. They may not be excited about Good Friday. They don't understand Good Friday. They may not even understand that it leads to Easter Sunday, that the Passion leads to the resurrection. And that's the only way to eternal life is to be dead to this world, to die to sin, to die to ourselves, to make Jesus Lord and let ourselves not be in charge. Maybe they kind of get that, but they don't fully understand that. They just love Jesus. They trust him. They don't tell him, Lord, we understand everything that you're saying, and you know what? It makes more sense than everything everybody else is saying. Because there are some things to them that do not make sense, including the Eucharist, for example. But they say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. They love him and they trust him. And so they follow him. And for us, now I think that's really simple. They don't complicate it. There's a lot of complexity to our faith. There's a richness and a fullness. There's a complexity to human nature and to the fact that how can we be, God created us good, but we're also fallen and we experience selfishness, and so how can those both be true? Or how can Jesus be God and man, or the Trinity, or any number of things? We could say, well, there's a lot of complexity there, and I don't fully understand that, and I should study that more. But it's also true that Jesus is saying something to us that is very simple. in today's gospel. It's not complex. We see in the midst of a complex situation, Jesus calling us to something very simple. We got all this stuff about in the end times, which we live in the end times. That doesn't mean Jesus is coming back in this millennia, but these are the end times. So Jesus will return, but before he does, he says there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be false messiahs that are going to come and they're going to say, I'm the Messiah, follow me, the time has come. It seems amazing that somebody would do that, but many false messiahs have already come. And Jesus says, don't believe them. Do not believe them. So we got wars, insurrections, persecutions. You're going to be led before kings and governors, and you're going to be put on trial and put on the spot. And this seems really complicated. How am I going to know which is the real Messiah when Jesus returns? Which that's not going to be hard. That's going to be easy to know. But in the mix of all this complexity, we tend to say, oh my gosh, I don't know. This is just too much for me to grasp. I don't really even know what to do with this gospel. But Jesus, I think, is inviting us to something very simple. He is asking us to love him, which he knows that you do, by the way. He's asking us, do you love me? And are you willing to tell other people? Are you willing to testify before other people that you love me? Now I know, since you're all Catholic, what you were thinking to yourself when you came into Mass was, I hope Father Dan gives a homily about how we can testify to our faith in front of other people publicly. But that's what Jesus is asking us. Now for my personality, I love this part where he says, do not prepare your defense beforehand, because I myself will give you a wisdom in speaking that your enemies will be powerless to resist or refute. I'm thinking, great, that's awesome. I don't have to prepare. Do I even have to prepare a homily? I don't have to prepare. I'm ready. Send me in. I love it. But some of you are thinking, oh, no. I want a full outline, Lord. I will go. I will testify to how I love you if you tell me every possible point that I need to know and what's the, they're going to respond. They're going to come back with something. So I got to be ready for that too. Otherwise, I'm not opening my mouth. Because we're Catholic. And if you're going to generalize Catholics, we don't think we have the right words to explain the depth of our faith. And we don't always. You know who does? The Holy Spirit. I myself will give you a wisdom. And Jesus is talking, he's going to, through his Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit, come show us, give us the words. I'm going to give you those words. You're going to be put on the spot for me. If you testify, if you love me, you're going to be put on the spot for loving me. And you might not be put on trial for your faith. In this country, we have certain freedoms. You might not be put on trial, but you will be put on the spot, and many of you have been. And many of you have shared with me recently about just challenges from your family. You've experienced a lot of adversity within the family about the faith. And that's can be the hardest one. That can be the hardest challenge. And when we respond to those challenges by trying to defend ourselves, we end up speaking in the flesh pretty often. Instead of responding through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, this is how it goes for me. When someone puts me on the spot for my faith, my mom was recently put on the spot for her faith, and she didn't respond right away. Of all places, it was at a baby shower, I think. And she was really put on the spot in a way that was really rude and frankly kind of made me angry. But she didn't respond right away. And what happened was somebody came up to her afterward because they felt so awful that this person had been so awful to her. And it led to her giving testimony. It always leads to your giving testimony. I know you're not thrilled. Maybe you are thrilled about that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're like, oh, great. I get to be put on the spot, and then I have to, okay. You know, we want to love Jesus sometimes off in our little corner. He's inviting us to love him in front of everybody, to let them know why we do what we do, why we don't do what we don't do.
And some of you, especially the younger ones of you, why do you go to Mass every Sunday? Your friends might ask you that. First of all, they better know that. If they don't know that this week, make sure they know that. And if they ask you why, if it's true, you could say, because my parents make me. But what if that's not true? Because I have a suspicion that that is very often not the reason. Yes, they might make you, but that's not really why you're here. Don't say, because my parents make me go. Tell them the truth. Because I love Jesus. What? You love Jesus by going and sitting in a room on Sunday. Yes. Now that's where you're put on the spot. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll give you the right words. I don't know what they need to hear. You might not either. He does. I was often put on the spot when I was younger because of the movies that I wouldn't watch. And people always make you feel so stupid for something that should be really obvious. So they're going to watch a horrible movie and I'd say, yeah, I'm out. See you guys. I love you and I hate your choices. Goodbye. I'll see you tomorrow. That was like half of my junior high and high school. To my friends, I love you. I hate your choices. We'll talk about your choices on Monday when you're less angry at me for leaving your house right now. And I would get made fun of. Oh, why? Why can't you watch that movie? Is it going to make baby Jesus cry? I'm like, yeah, probably. It probably will. And sometimes I don't know what to say. I feel totally stupid. It's in that moment where you're like just completely put on the spot and there's nowhere you can run or hide and you don't have the perfect answer. It's in that moment that the Holy Spirit can speak through you more powerfully than normally. So how this goes for me is if I try to defend myself, explain myself, justify myself to other people who I don't really care what they think about, I do care what they think about me, but only to a point. Ultimately care that much. But I want them to like me. So if I try to defend myself and explain myself to them, it comes out in the flesh. It doesn't really bless them. Sometimes it's offensive to them in a way that doesn't have to be. But it doesn't really earn any respect either. If I, on the other hand, stop, listen to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to speak, what do you want to say to this person? They're putting me on the spot for what I believe. If what I believe is really what you want from me, you're going to give me the words because you obviously believe it too. I don't know if God believes, but He knows it. So, Lord, what do you want to say? And sometimes the Holy Spirit just shows me exactly what this person needs to hear. It's not always a direct answer to the question. Sometimes what they need is something a little bit different, but it's with wisdom and with power. And we need to be open to Him speaking through us. It doesn't happen if we don't love Jesus in front of other people. It happens when we do, and when somebody asks you, and they might be putting you on the spot on purpose, or they might just be wanting to know, like they might have a sincere question, and it just happens to be an awkward situation in front of a bunch of people. It doesn't matter. It's really simple. Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to tell other people that you do? Will you listen to the Holy Spirit and what He wants to speak? If you try to protect yourself, justify yourself, defend yourself, it probably won't work. That's why He says, don't prepare your defense beforehand. But if you try to testify to Jesus and how good God is and the difference He makes in your life, why you love Him, it's easier then to listen to the Holy Spirit because you're not trying to defend yourself. You're trying to glorify God. This is the hardest thing for me. I think I love when I get this right. And I hate the other 70% of the time when I don't. But we're not called to be fair weather friends, fair weather followers of Jesus. And being a fair weather fan, that's really easy. That's really, really easy. I know some of you will accuse me of that since I can't find my Michigan State pullover. I don't know where it is, all right? That's the reason. It's easy to do that and say, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I just kind of go to church sometimes, whatever.
I just pray the rosary because that's what my parents do. You know, I'm just Catholic. You know, that's I was raised Catholic. You know, and I was raised Catholic. Half the time, that's the answer. Why do you do that? Oh, I was raised Catholic. Come on, that's not the full reason. Jesus knows how much you love him, but he's just asking you to be willing to testify before others. To let it be simple, and to let it be words that come from him, and words that try to glorify him. What we have in our faith is a wonderful gift. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us. God the Father has chosen us as his sons and daughters. We should not be afraid to testify before others of the goodness of God and to give him glory with both our actions and our words. And so Jesus, again, he says it's simple. Will you tell other people that you love me? Will you let me give you the words to do so?